Well, good evening, Potters. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office, and I am blessed to do so. So happy Wednesday. We had a wonderful service tonight, and we continue to meet on Wednesday nights at 6:30, knowing that there is a lot of people in our church who still are at a place where they don't feel comfortable coming, and I totally understand, and I appreciate that, and I hope that these sermons online, really this sort of podcast, is it's not the perfect format, but I'm hoping and trusting that it's doing what it's intended to do, which is to put you in a place to where you're studying God's Word along with what the church is studying, so that you feel connected. I think that, you know, one of the things that I really want to fix, knowing that COVID's going to be around for the next couple of years, I think, is this idea of people belonging, right? And I think it's really important that we create an environment, whether you're attending church or not attending church, to be connected and be involved. And I, you know, sit here confused at that, because to me, it's sort of an oxymoron. Is in that, you know, how are you connected? How are you involved when there's no physical connection? And you know what, there's, with the situation that we have in our society right now, I think that it would be wise of us as believers to figure out a way to make it work. And so I think up until this point, we have sort of just gone along with the information that we've been getting with respect to COVID. But now it seems like the information is starting to be more concise and more poignant, that this pandemic is going to be with us in terms of some form of lockdown or another for the church, at least the next year, all of 2021, and then probably mask wearing and social distancing for 2022. And with the new strains and things like that, we don't know what we don't know yet. And so I'm assuming that this is going to be something that's going to be around for a while. And rather than, you know, stand in a place of frustration and disappointment, we need to do something about it. And so that's what we're hoping and praying to do. Be praying for your church leadership, who is going to be meeting soon to discuss what our plan is moving forward, not only for 2021, but for 2022, in conjunction where Foursquare is going. And so I think that's all good things. And I encourage you to, you know, participate by, you guys know how to get a hold of me. If there's any ideas that you have, something you think we should be doing that we're not doing, something that we should be continuing to do, and something that we should just maybe stop doing altogether. That process is really what we call start, stop, and continue. You start doing things that you need to do, you continue doing things that are needful, and you stop doing things that aren't paying any dividends. And so I just want to encourage you in that process. You can always pick up the phone and give me a call, send me an email, send me a text. Not much on social media these days. I've sort of backed out of that. So the best way to get a hold of me is through my phone or, you know, knock on my door. I'm always available. So tonight we're going to be talking about Christian living. And this is part four of our series in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. And tonight we're going to be talking about walking in the light. And when we think about walking in the light, it's a common metaphor throughout Christian culture. We've you know, heard it in over and over again, and not only in the scripture, it's something that Jesus dealt with, but we are encouraged to do that. And basically what it means to walk in the light is to, you know, walk acting correctly, or even more so, living openly, right? When we walk in the light and have fellowship with it in the light, it's a life-changing experience, right? And if you think about the things that happen in the dark, I was sort of just a bystander over the summer, and not really saying much about all of the racial divide in our country and how people chose to go about protesting and trying to bring change to a system that is probably in need of change. The question is, how do we go about that change? And what I saw was, you know, it was the constant thing on the news was, you know, during the day there was really nothing happening, but everybody was, you know, sort of waiting to see what the night would bring, right? What would darkness bring, and all the looting and rioting and destruction of property and things of that nature. It primarily happened at night. There were things that happened during the day, but nothing near the scope of what happens at night. And in God's word, you know, it specifically says walk in the light. And what does that mean? It means living openly, living this life where biblically, you know, you are you who you are. And we're not hiding things in the dark. We're not retreating to the dark for sin. But it's this idea of relinquishing all of our power and following Jesus. And that's what walking in the light means. But we're going to get in more depth. So tonight, in verses 8 through 14 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, I'll begin reading. It says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Father, we pray blessing upon your word tonight as we study. We ask that you allow us to see and hear what the Spirit is saying and doing in the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight, we are here to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. And that is you, and that is me. So some observations. So the first part of this, it says, you know, notice the separation here. There's either light or darkness. There's no middle ground. If we are on the light, then we should live in it. But what does that mean? You know, and I think that Paul answers his question here because he said, well, I'll tell you what the fruit of light is. And in that verse, he says it's three things. It's goodness, it's righteousness, and it's truth. That's what the light is. It's living in goodness, on God's goodness, in our goodness, in a state of righteousness, being made right by what the Lord has done in our life, and truthfulness with God, truthfulness with one another. These are things that happen in the light, right? And so then he says to, you know, find out what pleases God. And, you know, this that's a profound question, right? Because it would be easy for Paul to say, okay, get ready because I'm about to tell you what pleases God, and then give his sort of explanation of what that is. But the onus or the burden is put on us, because the question is, find out what pleases God. In other words, it's something, this question suggests that it's my job to do that. And it is. It's my job to personally sit down and understand God's word, rightly divide the word of truth, and begin to see what pleases God, what things I do in my life please God, what things in my life displease God, what things in terms of dealing with others pleases God, and what things in terms of dealing with others displeases God. And so another aspect of light here is, you know, the function of light. It's not just a separation from darkness, but he says we are to expose the deeds of darkness. And that's what light does. Light begets light. He says whatever the light shines on, that becomes a light. So there's three topics in this section. And, you know, the first one is, what does it mean to walk in the Lord? The second one is, what behaviors please the Lord? And the third one is, what are the outcomes of light? Okay, so that's sort of the observation part. And, to you know, the next thing, obviously, after we do that is really find out what this means and interpret what Paul was saying to the Ephesian church so that we can figure out what it means to our church in the day in which we live. So what does it mean to walk in the light? Well, the Old Testament occurrence is in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. And it says, "O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord." And the Psalms contain a similar phrase, so does Isaiah. But it's not prevalent necessarily in the Old Testament like it is in the New Testament. In the New Testament, walking in the light is directly related to following Jesus. And why? Well, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," right? "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." John chapter 8, verse 12. So to walk is, in short, to live out one's life. Your lifestyle or the way of life can be considered a walk. And the word walk also indicates that there's progress. When we walk, we make, hopefully, forward progress, and we're not walking backwards. We don't see a lot of people doing that. Usually when you're walking, you're going from one point to another, one place to another, and you're making progress. So walking is related to growth, and it's taking steps toward maturity. So light in the Bible can you know, be a metaphor for life, for happiness, for righteousness, or understanding, right? Understanding, like when the light goes on in our head, it's you know, things become clear. And I think the Bible is clear that, you know, unequivocally, that light comes from the Father. In James 1:17, it said, the Father of lights, right? He is the opposite of evil. Putting it all together, walking the light, guys, means that we're growing in holiness and maturity and in our faith as we follow Jesus. And it says, you know, when it's talking about walking in the light and finding out what pleases the Lord, all these things are processes, and they last, you know, the entirety of our life. We never stop finding out what pleases God. We never stop making progress and growth in the Lord, in the light. Now, does that mean that when you walk in the light, you're free from all the entanglements of this world? No, we're going to struggle. We're going to have trouble. Jesus said it himself, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. I am the light of the world. Follow me and you'll walk in the light. Does that mean problem free? No, follow me. You're going to walk in the light and there'll be problems, but you will deal with those problems in my light, says the Lord. So the Apostle John repeatedly uses the word light as a metaphor in relationship to the Messiah. And he says in John 1:9 that true light gives light to every man. And in 1 John 1:7, he says, if we walk in the light, he, God, is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In verse 5, John in this says that the very nature, that God's very nature is light, right? If we walk in the light, he, God, is the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the conduit for where we get this light is Jesus. It's you know, it's whatever we get from the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the light. When we're walking in the light, we're walking in Jesus. We're walking in the light, we're walking in God. How do we know that? Well, go back to the very first mention of light when God says, let there be light. No sun, no moon, no stars were created. Yet the very presence of God was light. There are not going to be sun, moon, stars in heaven because the very presence of the Trinity is going to be light, right? So number two, what behaviors please the Lord? And so when we're talking about, you know, our relationship with the Father in heaven, and what Jesus had to say, he says in John chapter 8:29, I always do what pleases him. Who's him? It's the Father, right? And Jesus had regular conversations with his Father, especially when he was on the cross. He had engagement with him, and we knew that he withdrew to a quiet place to have fellowship with his Father. And because Jesus was the Son of God, you know, of one nature with the Father, he knew what pleased God. But we're fallible human beings. We're sometimes disconnected. So how can we really know what pleases God? Well, God has always made it clear to his people what it takes to please him, what it takes to for us to understand. And I know that in Scripture, when we walk by faith and not by sight, we please God. We know that there are times that people went to Jesus by faith and God rewarded, he healed them, and he was impressed by their faith. It's, you know, he's not random or arbitrary when it comes to his judgments. God is consistent, right? Even without the written law, people knew right from wrong, period. They knew what pleased God and what didn't please God. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from his workmanship, so that men are without excuse. So we have this moral code written on our hearts, according to Romans chapter 2, verse 15. And we know instinctively when we are doing wrong because we are created in the image of God and we have the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. So when we choose, you know, to against our inner knowledge and we harden our hearts and we sear our consciences and eventually, you know, we can't tell good from bad. We're in big trouble, right? But we are regenerated sinners and nothing pleases God when you're ungenerated, when that work hasn't taken place yet. Let me tell you what I mean. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, it says, "The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God." But you and I are not in the realm of the flesh, so that we have the ability to know how to please God. And the only way that we can please God is submit to the authority that he brings into our lives. And we start by receiving his son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. But it goes even further. Only those who come to God through his son, Jesus, can be forgiven. And only those who come through Jesus can have the gift of salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It can't be earned by the behavior that we do, good or bad. It pleases God when we receive his gifts. And you say, well, what are those? Pleases God when we accept his forgiveness and give out forgiveness. It pleases God when we accept eternal life and we live like we're going to be living in eternity with God. It pleases God when we have a relationship with him as the Father does. So the third thing here in understanding what this text means is really, what are the outcomes of the light? And there's a couple of things here that we can get from other texts that kind of build the framework of the outcomes of light. First of all, it illuminates. And when it illuminates, it brings truth, right? So the first one is illuminate because it brings truth. And number two of this is it exposes, right? What does it expose? It exposes the light, the lies of Satan. It exposes what he's trying to do in the background. A little light goes a long way. You know, I did this at camp for many, many years, but we're up in the cabin and there's 30 kids in this cabin and we're all, doing Bible study and we talk about the light. We shut all the lights off. It comes completely dark in the room and I light one match, and that one match gives the ability for us to see every face in the room from one match. Just a little bit of light penetrates darkness. A little goes a long way. And light is our future home. We know that in Scripture because heaven is illuminated. There are no dark places in heaven. Light existed before the beginning of time, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. And that's what you and I are. What are the outcomes of light? You are a reflector. Your job is to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. You don't manufacture the light. I was talking in church about the time that, I used to get bicycles a lot for Christmas because I would wear them out so much. I was into BMX, and we lived in the Hacienda Heights in these big hills, and I would be riding, making tracks and jumps and whatever. I was really into it. And when my dad would buy me a new bike, inevitably, bought the bike, but, the government says it's got to have reflectors. And so the first thing I would do is take off all the reflectors because, well, first of all, I wasn't doing BMX at night. I really didn't ride my bike at night. And if I did, it was another bike that I used, not a BMX bike. But I would get rid of all these reflectors because I knew my friends were going to tease me, like, what do you have those on there for? You got this great BMX bike, but it's got these reflectors all over it. But that's what you and I are. You are a reflector. You do not manufacture. Do not manufacture light. It's God's light that bounces off of our life, and it illuminates others. That's what the beauty of his light does. So let's apply this. So in applying this, our Christian duty, guys, is to live in the light that God gives us. Ephesians 5:8, like we just read, you are the light of the world. Now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. What does that mean? Well, based on everything we've just learned, it means that we walk in the light. That doesn't mean when we fall down, we're going to fall down in the light. We're going to make mistakes in the light. We're going to be redeemed in the light. We're going to be forgiven in the light. These aren't things that we do in the darkness or privately. When we walk in the light, we cannot walk in darkness. Sin is left in the shadows as we let our light shine, and we let it shine before men for everybody to see. It's God's plan for us to become more like Christ. And in doing that, we're letting our light shine. Walking in the light means that we consider Jesus as the light of the world, and we walk in him, following his footsteps and his precepts, living in his power, living in his grace. And then lastly, and you guys hear this every single time, Micah 6:8, every time I preach, you hear it at the end. This is how you please God. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with our God. When we live in integrity in both public and our private lives, we're doing justly. When we show mercy to those who have wronged us, we're living out that mercy. And when we cling tightly to God's word and crave his presence, we're walking humbly. And we make choices that please God. God is not hard to figure out. He's hard to follow, but he's not hard to figure out because of the flesh that we have. We have to pin back all of these things, because if you did those three things, if you committed to those three things on a daily basis, that you were going to do justly, that you were going to love mercy, and that you were going to walk humbly, think about all the messes that you would keep yourself out of. Think about all the joy that you would have. Think about how much easier your life would be if you just did everything justly, if you loved mercy, if you loved being forgiven by God and forgiving others, and you walked in humility, putting everybody before you, being servant of all. That's an amazing life. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. There's nothing stopping me from doing that. But there may be somebody listening tonight, and you are prevented from doing it, because the only way you do it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to be born again. And if you've never made that your prayer, I encourage you to do so. The Bible says you need to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on a cross for your sin, for your salvation. And when you accept that truth and you ask him to come into your life, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're given the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, and the ability to walk in that light. I pray that you do that now. If you have, give us a call on our phone. Our website has the number on there, and let us know about the decision that you made to follow Jesus, and so that we may rejoice with you. And again, I will close with what I just closed with. Micah 6:8, he has shown us what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's go do that tonight. I'll see you next Wednesday. God bless.